Hi, welcome to Practical Wisdom Stories, Soul Searching. My name is Nikki Kleppel, and we have Guillermo Vasquez. Welcome, Guillermo.
Hey, hello. Thank you so much, Nikki, for having me on this platform. Very nice to see you again.
You were so memorable. You were my business partner in collaborating to bring the Dale Carnegie Leadership Course to the members of the Employee Resource Group of OLA. So maybe we can start with that. You know, what was that experience like for you?
I think the experience that I gained from your class was very insightful because it allowed me to be able to communicate and express myself at a different level. I think that your class taught me how to have more executive presence. And therefore, I also saw the opportunity to be able to recommend the course to more members of the OLA community. OLA is the Microsoft Hispanic and Latinx Employees Group. It's an ERG. And that's what I really recall about all those different stories that we went through, all those different exercises. And, you know, I believe I'm a person of confidence, but I think that I gain even more confidence by taking your course.
Yeah. And tell us, you know, I love hearing stories of volunteering and giving back. So what has been your experience as serving your community?
I think to me, it's very, very fulfilling. I just this year, I got inducted or voted into the communications director for the entire OLA ERG.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's a place of privilege. In a way that my intent is to build a really strong team, and we are actually already enacting in that, to be able to be the voice of the rest of the community. We're trying to put some thought and we're trying to put some data behind everything we talk about, everything we broadcast, as opposed to just the opinion of what I think or how I see the world. I think that we have almost like a little mini think tank on which we all think about the different areas on which the community can be more informed and also taking on the responsibility of us being the voice of OLA, right? Because incidentally, we're going through the Hispanic Heritage Month right now. So we're sending communications about all the events that are being presented by our ERG across the entire company. And we frame it in a really good way that it feels more more human, more unique, and it really showcases the talents and the things that brings us all together, you know, such as music, such as art, being involved in politics, understanding where our place in the world is, bringing really, really amazing leaders that come and talk to us on these different keynote speaking events that we have presented for the community. And we're getting a lot of different traction. Actually, this time around, typically we have prepared for Hispanic Heritage Month in previous years. And, you know, at the end of Hispanic Heritage Month, we are all tired because we work really hard on that. And then we go on a little mini break, right? However, this time around is way, way different. I feel like we're going to continue on with the momentum. We're not going to let it go. We're not going to just, you know, take it to the next level by using our platform. And I'm enjoying the role very, very, very much.
Well, keep a couple things you mentioned. A couple things is just how, you know, it can be exhausting, but also you said fulfilling. So maybe, you know, I think especially right now, you know, we're in the midst of, you know, social justice and changes that, you know, people might be on the edge of like wanting to speak up or volunteer or do something, but also realizing, you know, being overwhelmed with work and, you know, maybe helping kids with virtual school and just all the things. So I guess, what is your either advice on giving and volunteering?
I think I could answer your question in two formats. I think one of them is being informed, learning, and not being afraid of, you know, failing. Sometimes, like especially now with the movements of Black Lives Matter, like people are hesitant on how do I jump in? How do I help? What about if I mess up? What about if I offend somebody? Mm-hmm. I think it's all based on intent, the power of intent. So if you have positive intent to whatever action you're doing, even if you mess up, it is okay because somebody will see your, you know, that you're being legitimate, that you're trying to help, and you just don't happen to know. I think it's worse when we just kind of sit back and observe, not really knowing what to do. And that's the part that, you know, really impacts everybody.
Yes, I've heard a phrase like it's better to try to do right than be right. So thank you. You also talk about the importance of that human connection, you know, now more than ever, this season of social distancing. So how, I guess, especially within an employee resource group like that, how do you best cultivate that belonging and that human connection?
I think what we're doing with Ola is that we're just trying everything we can, right? Everything from having a trivia on Friday afternoon and just adding mementos. We're using a platform called Kahoot, on which everybody dials in. It's a really good combination between Teams and the Kahoot. And we have a whole bunch of questions. Sometimes we ask hard questions on these trivia events. It's a meetup, essentially. And we just sometimes have hundreds of people. Sometimes we have a little bit less than 90. Like today, just a couple hours ago, we had a really, really good event. And we used Loteria. Loteria is like the Hispanic version of bingo. And it was really, really fun. People laughing. Yeah. And then other chapters of the organization had other events, such as comedy. They had this guy named Eric Rivera, who was really, really good and really funny. And we also bring the hard things to talk about, hard discussions, right? Like we're saying on the Hispanic Heritage Month, just bringing people who are in the political arena that educate us how to behave, how to act, how to think, how to be informed, how to essentially get to a better conversation when it comes down to talking about politics, the importance of voting this year and not letting it go, right? We're an organization that we cannot persuade people to vote one way or the other. It's just that it's important to vote, and that's really what matters, you know, express how you want to vote and you know, who you want to have in power. So it's a really, really good opportunity.
And you're so practical, how you add the humor and cahoots. These are tangible, practical things that our listeners can do. And also that, you know, maybe that humor is that entry point to those more serious conversations. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
It actually is. I think we have a really, really well diverse group of people who volunteer for Ola, who have all different perspectives. And I welcome all that. I think as a communications director, one thing that I really enjoy is the part where I can be almost like the editor-in-chief, right? Listening to everybody, trying to be very practical and tactical in regards to how we project that message on our newsletters, on our updates to the entire community, and then also being strategic, right? Like, oh, wait, that conversation could go really, really well with this topic that we're touching here. And okay, let's just wait a couple of weeks until our giving campaign comes along, because that's the better way to project this ask about, you know, the different volunteering opportunities that we have, as well as the pay forward opportunities for people during the biggest month for Microsoft for giving money back to the NGOs and all of that. So it's really, really good.
Guillermo, you're so generous, and also you have so much enthusiasm. Were you always like this? Tell us a story from your childhood or your youth that helped shape your character.
I think it all comes from growing up poor without having too much privilege, and just, you know, growing up oppressed and really bad neighborhoods, right? And
where did you grow up?
Mexico City. Mm-hmm. So it comes from there, right? That I was the oldest of, I am still the oldest of five children of my mom. And I was always almost like the mini parent, you know, protecting my siblings, trying to help them out and all of that. But I think that, you know, as I grew up, turned the clock forward around 16, when I was 16 years old, living in Cancun, I used to work in a restaurant after I was, you know, I was balancing between high school and just also making some money for myself. And I met a girl who was from Czechoslovakia, Monica. And we were hanging out, and then at some point she lived in New York, and she said, you know, you have charisma, you have energy, you have so much potential. And it feels to me that you could definitely make it much bigger than you can even imagine if you move to the US. So, you know, that stayed on the back of my mind. And just within a few months, I started saving a lot of money, my friend Jorge and I decided to go on an adventure. I had a friend up here in Seattle who was working as a commercial fisherman in Alaska. And he said, hey, if you want to be a fisherman, come on board. It was to make $5,000 in 6 months. To me, that was a lot of money back then. So we decided to venture up and come up to Seattle. Then I eventually made it into a boat, and I worked on fishing boats in the middle of Bering Sea for 5 long years. And it was an amazing adventure. And I actually, I would probably say, or dare to say, that that's where I gained my leadership chops, because I was managing a group of 20 people, 20 fishermen who were like, you know, really, really tough people. And just imagine, right? It's just like these big burly people who are like, and here is this Mexican guy who was like, you know, shy originally, but you know, when you're in a crew of 100 people and everybody has to make money, and you have to become a little bit more aggressive than you really are. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, it's not necessarily aggressive, but just be assertive, right? Mm-hmm. Just to, this is what we need to do. Be smart about how to put diagrams together about production. I got to use a lot of tools, fix different things. I started thinking around computers back then. And I used to make the spreadsheets up on the wheelhouse with the in the captain's quarters, using his Mac computer, and I was making spreadsheets with the calendar, the production, and I was, you know, almost like a mini PM, doing all that stuff, and that was a really, really good adventure.
Oh, it's so inspiring that, you know, there was someone who mentored you or gave you this idea, and you know, you're already demonstrating that now of just, you know, especially helping with OLA, the ERG, like, people, helping people have hope or think bigger. I guess one other thing in this season of soul searching, what is something that you have discovered, you know, I guess like the meaning of life or something, you know, just a realization that you've had?
Well, it's a very hard question, but I think I can easily answer it. And I think that being in isolation and yet not really in isolation, at the beginning of COVID, I had my 3 children here with me, right? My oldest is 20, my son just turned 18, and my youngest daughter is 16 and a half. So 2 kids in high school, 1 in college. And I realized that I needed to step it up, but instead of stepping it up for everyone like I always have, I had to step it up for myself. Ooh. And what does that mean? It means that I had to go like into really, really deep areas of myself and really, truly practice self-compassion. Something that, you know, it's a term that gets thrown around for many reasons. My biggest inspiration is this author called Jay Shetty. Oh, yeah. I was anxiously waiting for his book to arrive. And his book is called Think Like a Monk. It just came out on September 8th. So throughout this whole time, I've been working on learning more about meditation, doing yoga almost daily since then. Mm-hmm. I dropped probably about 33, 34 pounds.
Wow.
In this whole process, I learned to listen to my body a lot more than I ever have in my entire life. Mm-hmm. In my entire life, I don't think I ever listened to my body. I think I abused it and I trashed it, especially like during the fishing days, where I would work really, really super hard, 16 and a half hours a day. I mean, I destroyed my knees doing that job. Keep in mind that I was working down in the freezer as well, you know, moving product everywhere. And it's just one of those things that it gives you a lot of stamina and a lot of energy just to like be all kind of burly and throwing, you know, probably was like 44 pounds of frozen fish around. And it's just this thing that, you know, it just gives you all these different things. But, you know, it was very taxing. I did that for
What's
5 years
straight. What's that shortcut, I guess, or the, like, how do we tune into and listen to our bodies?
I think that once you are able to not let your the previous version of yourself bash you and just, you know, abuse you. Because keep in mind that, you know, for me, I do my best to live in the present time, and I didn't always do it that way. I would go back and look into my experiences and what drives me, what motivates me. And oftentimes I think what drove me is to be better than I was the previous day or my previous season or my previous years. But right now I am compassionate enough to my own self to mm-hmm. say that it's okay to some days have a hard day. It's okay some days to fail. And it's just an opportunity to do better the next time. No need to, you know, be just bad to my own self. I think that many times something that drove me and made me better, quote unquote, is that I would just like be pretty hard on myself. And I learned to be more calm, more quiet. I mean, I got into, you know, having an area, just more than one area. I have areas in my house on which there is an area where I meditate. There's an area where I do yoga. I have a little health section in my kitchen where, you know, I have all my little snacks that I take. I got into a program called Made For, on which every month, it's a 10-month challenge. Every month I get a little trinket that motivates me to do something, right? So the first bracelet that I got was for water. So I've been drinking water, 8 bottles every day. I don't always accomplish that, but that has been a habit that I have formed. So now I really, really have to do it. It comes with a little cap that, you know, every time you finish one bottle, you touch it and you move it around. It's like, okay, I finished that. Then the second month I did fuel, and fuel means food. Nourish my body. It was about putting my phone out of the way and just thinking, and I did log what I ate for an entire month. Then the third month was about gratitude. And the gratitude is about being able to figure out who are the people who got you here, right? The people who you owe your path. Granted, you know, sometimes as humans, we feel like we're deserving, right? I deserve this, I deserve that. However, that's not always the case, because the reason why we get somewhere is because somebody believed in us and they put their belief on us. Sometimes they gamble on us. And to me, that has always been a thing that I don't like to fail people. It is very, very impacting to my soul to fail someone. And now I can do better from the point of view that I can project and say, you know, honestly, that's something that would put me over capacity. What about if we do this 2 weeks from now? What about if we do this in a month? Right. And sometimes I go back to people and apologize for saying, hey, I'm going to have to move this here and there, and then you just explain why. And then when people see that, oh, okay, so you care about me and you're letting me know that things are changing. So there we go.
Yeah.
And then the last one is about breathing. And that's something that I'm going to be working on this coming month. You know, like just being able to take 10 minutes out of your time. It comes with a little timer. And just take 10 minutes and just breathe and breathe and breathe. I think breathing is so important, because it's one of those things that, you know, as kids, we know automatically how to breathe. And I think that as we get into adulthood, we forget how to breathe. And sometimes, and I discovered that through the process of yoga and all of that, that I was not aware that I would stop breathing. Mm-hmm. And there were times when I was like feeling a little dizzy. And the main reason for it is because I will get into really, really deep thoughts.
Yeah.
And I was just like trying to solve things in my mind. And it's because I just stopped breathing. It's like, oh. So it's just like, it's an amazing journey. And then if you were to read the Think Like a Monk, almost like it's a magnificent way in which Jay framed all his learnings, everything he's ever talked about. And the first section is about letting go. And letting go is exactly it, right? Letting go of that person that's holding you back. And oftentimes it's our own selves. Or sometimes we try to pin it on somebody and say, oh, this person is holding me back. But in reality, it's our very own interpretation of how we think of that person, or what their the value that we give our person on our side. Sometimes when somebody doesn't really want to be in your life, or you know, there's no alignment, we are so determined that, you know, we try to prove something to this person that, you know, that we're better and that we should be listened to and all those different things. And sometimes it's just like, hey, just let it go. So
we learned the lesson from them, and now it's over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a mantra like, you know, to finish up with, you know, what would be those lasting, you know, practical wisdom that you have or a mantra that you really find helpful?
I think it's an add-on, and I think it has to do with presence, right? Like the mantra that Jay Shetty says is, I am present, I am here, and I am exactly where I'm meant to be. And in addition to that, for me, I say, I am present for you. And if you wanna be present for me, just be yourself and just be there if you want to be.
Oh, awesome. Well, thanks for sharing your charisma and your wisdom and your stories with us, Guillermo. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Nikki, so much for giving me an opportunity. I really appreciate you. You taught me a lot of stuff.